Bible tells us in John chapter 16, verse number 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
That story will never grow old.
In prayer, I cried, Lord, have mercy. Then he pardoned me there. He lifted my burden, brought peace to my soul. What makes my life new is that story so old.
Many years have passed by since I found the Lord. I remember that night when the story was told. I had no hope, the message did ring. That story is old, but it still blesses me. Oh no, the old story will never grow old. How Jesus died to save my soul. Oh no, the old story will never grow old. That story will never grow old. Oh no, the old story will never grow old. How Jesus died to save my soul. Oh no, the old story will never grow old. That story will never grow old. That story will never grow old.
Well, hello, neighbor. Welcome to our broadcast today. You're listening to the Spirit of Truth coming to you from the Morning Star Baptist Church in Pacolet, South Carolina. I'm Pastor Andrew Kerrigan, and we're just delighted to be able to bring you this broadcast again today. I trust that you'll call someone, a friend, a neighbor, invite them to listen to the broadcast with you. We're on this same station. However you're listening, to what station you're listening to today, we're on this same station at this same time every week. And so we'd like to for you to invite your friends and your neighbors, your loved ones to tune in. If the singing is a blessing to you, if the messages are a help to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can mail your correspondence to Pastor Andrew Kerrigan, Morning Star Baptist Church, 150 Old Spartanburg Highway, Pacolet, South Carolina, zip code 29372, or you can visit our website at www.morningstarbaptistchurch.com and send us an email, or you can send me a personal email to my personal email address is andrewkerrigan@bellsouth.net. We sure would love to hear from you. I'm glad that God is still on the throne and we're still preaching this same old story. Been preaching this story now for about almost 47 years, and it never grows old. Thank God. It's sort of like that song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I'm glad that story never grows old, and I'm glad it's by the marvelous grace of God. Well, we're going to enjoy another song from the trio. I'm glad that God is more than enough. And you pray as the trio comes and they bring us this song, More Than Enough. Thank God, I'm glad that He's more than enough.
Blind Bartimaeus stood by the wayside begging, crying out to Jesus, for he knew the chance he was taking. Crowd said, be quiet, don't bother him now. The more that they pressed him, the louder he'd shout, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Today I believe I can see. And he's more than enough to make the blind man to see. He's more than enough to guide you and
feed a family like mine. He's more than enough to heal all diseases. He's more than enough to wash the sin out of me. He can raise up the dead, give them new life. Jesus is more than enough.
He said to the Lord, my daughter is dying at home. Then another man said, she's dying, the master alone. His loved one was dead, his heart was so grieved. He said, be not afraid, but only believe. Then he said to the child, I say unto thee, arise, I believe she's alive.
And he's more than enough to make the blind man to see. Guide you and me. He's more than enough to turn the water to wine. He's more than enough to feed a family like mine. He's more than enough to heal all disease. He's more than enough to wash the sin out of me. He can raise up the dead, give them new life. Jesus is more than enough. Blind man to see, he's more than enough to guide you and me. He's more than enough to turn the water to wine. He's more than enough to feed a family like mine. He's more than enough to heal all disease. He's more than enough to wash the sin out of me. He can raise up the dead and give them new life. Jesus is more than enough. He can raise up the dead, give them new life. Jesus is more than enough.
Well, neighbor, I'm glad that I can testify to the fact that Jesus is more than enough. Thank God, I'm glad that when you get to know him, you'll know that he is more than enough. Well, if you would have your Bible today, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 57. Psalm 57, and I want to bring a message today from this passage of Scripture, possibly this week and next week, and I trust that this passage of Scripture will be of tremendous encouragement to your heart. Remember, we've been looking in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and we have been... for the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at the victory of faith, how Moses and the children of Israel came up to the Red Sea, and their faith led them across the Red Sea or through the Red Sea on dry ground, and the Egyptians trying to do so were drowned. And so we were delighted to be able to bring those messages on the victory of faith. And then today we're going to be looking at the faith of a fugitive, the faith of a fugitive. And possibly this week and next week we'll be looking at this Psalm 57. So if you have a copy of the Word of God there, if you don't have, I would trust that you'd take, when you have an opportunity to read this Psalm, it begins like this. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me. Into the midst thereof, they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. And may God add his richest blessings to the reading of his word. And so today, I want you to understand that this is the faith of a fugitive. This psalm is addressed to the chief musician who was the director of the music in public worship. And so the psalms which were addressed to him were intended for use in the temple services. And so the word here, Altacheth, means destroy not. David had said destroy not in reference to Saul when David had him in his power, and now David uses the same words in his supplication to God. The implication given in the Lord's model prayer is that God will spare us as we spare our foes. There are four of these destroy not. In Psalm 57 you'll find one, Psalm 58, 59, and then in Psalm 75. In all of them there is a distinct declaration of the destruction of the wicked and the preservation of the righteous. In this psalm, we find in verse 1, a God of pardon. In verse 2, a God of performance. Verse number 3, a God of power. And then in verse number 9, we find a God of praise. My beloved, what a blessing that we know a God that pardons. What a blessing that we know a God that can perform. What a blessing to know that we know a God that is powerful, and what a blessing it is to be able to praise our God. And so the occasion of this psalm is given in the title. It occurs during the time of Saul's persecution of David, and it's most likely referencing to the experience of David at Adullam in 1 Samuel chapter 22. The structure of the psalm is quite simple, dividing itself into two parts. Two facts are emphasized. Fact number one, the psalmist's foes and his God. And then there is fact number two, his fears of the foes is more than counteracted by his faith in the Father. I want you to notice, first of all, prayer in danger. Verses 1 through 6, there we find the cry. Here we find faith's request. Look, here David seeks the kindness of God, and he states his confidence in God. An urgent need is suggested by the repetition of the cry for mercy. God is the God of mercy, and though we may not deserve it, we always receive it when we come to God in sincere prayer. Aren't you glad, neighbor, that the mercies of the Lord are new every day? Thank God. I'm glad when I get up in the morning, the mercies of the Lord are new. He said, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. David is hiding in a cave. I want you to get the picture here. David is fleeing from Saul, and David is hiding in a cave. But he seeks even a more secure refuge. There is no safer place for a chick than under its mother's wings. I was raised up on a farm, and you know, it wasn't long as a little boy I began to notice the farm animals, and living out on the farm, we had those chickens, and my mom taught me a lot about spiritual things that I didn't know she was teaching me then, but I'd watch those little old chickens as the hen would hatch them off, and they would be out in the yard scratching around, and overhead I would hear a noise and look up, and there my mom would said that is a chicken hawk. And I asked her, I said, what is the chicken hawk there for? And she said, the chicken hawk wants to destroy the little chickens and eat them. But every time, beloved, the old hawk would make a dive, those biddies would run, those little chickens would run up under their mother's wing, and there they would find safety under the mother's wing. Thank God, I'm glad that David sought such safety from the Lord, just like a chicken under its mother's wing. And so when we cannot see the sunshine of God's face, we still can be sheltered under the shadow of his wings. I think about so many times times, neighbor. Even here recently, I have had to run under the shadow of his wings. Thank God to escape the storms. There, here, David compares his affliction to a storm that comes and goes. Even as I'm making this radio broadcast now, outside of this studio, there is thundering and there is lightning. There is rain that is falling. There is wind that is blowing. There are tornado warnings up around. We've just gotten word that one touched down in Clemson, South Carolina. Neighbor, I'm glad, listen, that even in the very midst of the storms, our God will not fail us. I'm glad that just as the psalmist David sought refuge under the wings of the Almighty. I'm glad that you and I, beloved, during the storms of life, we can find refuge in the Lord. Yes, the storms are going to come, and the storms sometime are going to rage. Sometimes the storms bring great destruction with them. But thank God, neighbor, I'm glad that the storms don't last forever. I'm glad that in a little while the storms will roll away. I'm glad in a little while we'll see the sun shining again. We sing that song in our church. The fact is, we sang it this past Sunday morning, "Until the storm passes by." Yes, many times Satan whispers, "There's no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow." But beloved, I'm glad that, listen, weeping is for the night, but I'm glad that joy comes in the morning. Think about, though the storm may be furious, it will not last forever. And so the promise of Psalm 34 and 17 is precious here. I want to read that in Psalm 34, verse number 17, if I can find it real hurriedly. Psalm 34, verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all of their troubles." Thank God, neighbor, I'm glad that the Lord is able to deliver us if we put our trust in him and cast all of our care upon him. He will in good time see that all our afflictions shall pass over. He will either take them from us or he'll take us from them. And then we'll realize, as did the Apostle Paul, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, according to Romans 8 and 18. And so, my dear friend, here we find faith's request. But then we see in verse number 2, there is faith's resolve. Look at what he said in verse number 2. He said, "I will cry unto God, Most High, unto God that performeth all things well." Thank God, I'm glad that he is a God of performance. This is faith's resolve. These words suggest the interesting and important truth that the providence of God presents us with a powerful motive to pray. We pray because we believe. Thank God, neighbor, aren't you glad that we know a God that hears and answers prayer? I'm glad that he tells us to lift our eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help. I'm glad the Bible tells us where two or three of us would gather together in his name, he's going to be there. I'm glad the Bible says where two or three of us would agree on any one thing, he will do it. I'm glad the Bible says if we will knock, we'll find. If we'll knock, it shall be opened unto us. If we seek, we shall find. If we ask, it will be given unto us. And so we pray because we believe. David knew to whom he should turn in the time of trouble. And so he says, "I will cry unto God." Psalm 50 and 15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee." Knowing this promise, David did not hesitate to pray. Neighbor, I want to say to you, it really pays to know what thus saith the Lord. It pays to know something about this book called the Bible. It pays to know something about the promises of God. Oh, listen, as we think about how God has made promise after promise unto us, we should believe and trust and rely upon him and know that God will do what he says he will do. I want you to notice the last part of the verse. God that performeth all things. Think about it. His word is his guarantee. As I sit here before this microphone tonight, I'm so glad that I have a copy of the Word of God. God. I'm so glad that I have open eyes, that I can see the Word of God. I'm so glad that I have knowledge, that I can read the Word of God. I'm so glad that I have faith, that I can believe the Word of God. Oh, how precious is this old book. Yes, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. What a privilege and what a joy it is to know that God's Word is His guarantee. Yea, neighbor, God holds His Word above His name. I'm glad that we can. When we lay our eyes, when we trust in the Word of God, we can believe that God's going to do what He says. The Bible says He performeth all that He has promised. In the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse number 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Neighbor, you can count on this. You can just mark this down in your book. Whatever God starts, God finishes. You can rest assured that God will do that. I'm glad that about 47 years ago, this next month, in this month of September, some of you will be hearing this message in September, and 47 years ago in the third week of September, I'm glad that God began something in me when I humbled myself before Him. A neighbor, after reading that gospel tract and humbling myself before Him, confessing my sin, turning from my sin and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, invited Him into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. I want to tell you, God began something in me. First of all, He forgave all of my sin. Thank God, neighbor, I'm glad that my sin is in the sea of God's forgetfulness behind His back, never to be remembered again. I'm glad that God put my sin away. I'm glad that God not only put my sin away, but I'm glad that God put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Neighbor, I fully expect to see it there when I get to heaven. I'm glad that God began something in me. Neighbor, God began a growing of faith in me, and that faith hath caused me to turn my face toward God day after day after day after day. In the time of trouble, in the time of great trials, I'm glad that that faith that God began in me has caused me to turn my face toward God. And neighbor, every time I would turn my face toward God, every time I would trust Him, every time I would believe Him, I'm glad that God would always come through. Yes, there's been times when I have failed the Lord, but neighbor, never has there been a time when God has ever failed me. God never, ever, ever has failed anybody. You may be listening to this broadcast out there today by radio. You may be listening by way of the internet. You may be listening from a CD somewhere. Beloved, I want to say to you, you can trust God. Find His promise in the Bible. He said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I will go with thee always, even unto the end. Maybe you're listening today and you've never been saved by the grace of God. You're tired of your sin. You've become a slave to your drinking. You've become a slave to your drugs. You've become a slave to your immoral way of living. But beloved, the devil tells you there's no way out. The devil will tell you that there's no cure. But I'm telling you, there is a way out, and that way is up. If you will turn your heart toward God, if you will lift up your eyes, if you, like the old publican, will smote on your breast and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I'm here to tell you, if you will turn from your sin and turn to the Savior, He will save you by His marvelous grace. I'm glad there's still power. Yea, there's still wonder working power in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad we sing an old song in the church that says, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. Thank God, neighbor. I'm so glad that there is a way that sinners can be saved. I'm glad there's a way that saved people can serve God. I'm glad there's a way that backsliders can get right. 1 John 1:9 says, if we'll confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I say to you out there in radio land, if you're lost, if you'll accept Christ, God will forgive your sin. He'll put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. life, and He'll care for you. He'll shepherd you all through your life until you come down to the end of your life's journey, and He'll be there at the end of the road to greet you. He'll be there at the river's bank to take you across to the other side. He'll be there to take you and to deliver you to that place called heaven. Oh, neighbor, what a blessing it is to know a God that can save. What a blessing it is to know a God that began something and performs it. And whatever God begins, you can rest assured that He will finish. The implication here is that God is not like men who make grand promises but do not keep them because of inability, because of carelessness or unfaithfulness. God is as good as His word. There is no reason to doubt His greatest promises. And so the psalmist said that God, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. And then number three, there is faith's reward. In verse number three, look at what he said. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth His mercy and His truth. If there are no fit instruments on earth, heaven shall send the legion of angels to rescue God's saints. Both the might and the majesty of heaven are at the disposal of the godly. Oh, beloved, we are delivered, not only from the bite, but also from the very bark of the hounds of hell. Notice the phrase, that would swallow me up. We frown on the term cannibalism. And yet, how often have we taken a man's good honor and good name and broiled them over the coals of indignation? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 15, Paul speaks of believers biting and devouring one another. Spiritual cannibalism is worse than physical. Saul and his followers seem to thrive on false accusations and slander of David. But in the last part of verse 3, we see that David receives more than he expects. David has asked only for mercy, but God sends along truth also. He always gives us more than we ask for. I'm glad that He does. Look at that verse again. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth His mercy and His truth. I'm glad David cried for mercy. God extended mercy to David. But not only did He extend mercy to David, He extended truth. You know, I am glad Jesus said, know the truth and the truth will make you free. And so I just want to say once again, neighbor, you see faith's request, and then you see faith's resolve, and you see faith's reward. You can afford to put your trust in God. You can believe Him, neighbor. You can trust Him with all of your heart. And I believe today, if you'll just put your faith and your trust in Him, that you can go along singing the praises unto the Lord. You listen to the trios. They close out our broadcast today.